I just think it was, it felt really important to me at the time to share that. It was something that I'd prepared just for us to read together at the prayer night. And then just very, very quickly, God gave me sort of three words. They all begin with P as well. But honestly, it was within a minute. And in fact, it was while I was waiting for the photocopier to warm up. That's how quick it was. And they all begin with P. Oh, the photocopier begins with P. Yeah, actually, there's a lot of P's this morning. And when the prayer group was praying for me before the meeting, Pam said, "I'm Pam and I'm on prayer." Did you get it? More P's? So it's like a bag of P's we're getting, not just your three P's here. So apologies to you. Also, it's not very popular, is it, to do Bible readings where people are going to be killed and massacred for obvious reasons. And I don't say that lightly, because I know there's a place for speaking about these things and, you know, discussing them. And there are books that hang around our house, you know, the Old Testament and graphic things. They're not my books, they're John's books. I don't read them. But there are a place to do that. But we can't ignore it, can we? It is in the Bible and it is what happened. It's a bit like years ago I did some work for school when I was teaching in Sri Lanka. And we had a couple of days off and they said to me, "What would you like to do?" So I said, "Oh, I'd like to go to the elephant orphanage. I've read about the elephant orphanage." "Oh, that's a bit far." "We have a small elephant orphanage. Would you like to go?" "Oh, yeah, I'd love to." So off we went to the elephant orphanage. And one of the things they had was a film. So we went and watched this film. And it was very graphic about how the British, who were in Ceylon at the time, killed loads and loads of elephants for sport. And they were literally, on this film, they were literally stacked up like this, all these dead elephants. It was horrific. And there were five of us who were teachers from Lancashire who were there with five teachers from Sri Lanka who were our partners. And I kid you not, we all sat together like this and they sat either side of us going like this. And you know, I said, they keep looking at us. And they're like, "I know, why?" Anyway, at the end, I said, "Why were you looking at us?" And they went, we looked to see if you cried, and we looked to see how ashamed you were. So I was like, "Oh." And they said, "How do you feel? How do you feel now?" I was like, mortified, really embarrassed. What can I say? So, you know, sometimes we're part, aren't we, of our country's history or what's in the Bible, but we see God through Jesus, don't we? In the New Testament, Jesus came to show us what God was like. So whatever we read, you know, let's keep hold of that. So we've got Joshua facing Jericho. And as I said, he's a man of battle, so a bit of an action man. He was used to going and doing. And if you're like that, I like to go and do, you know, if there's a problem, I want to sort it out. You know, I'd have advice for you. I want you to do this, this and this. It's very hard for me to sit still and to think. I want to act. And I think a lot of us are like this. And Joshua was that sort of person. So if we have a look at what Caleb read for us. When Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword. "Oh, great," Joshua thinks, "I understand this." And he said, are you on our side or are you on our enemy's side?" I mean, I don't know what he thought. If he said, "I'm on your enemy's side," would Joshua have fought him? I don't know. But he says, "Neither. I'm commander of the army of the Lord. I have come." Then Joshua fell face down on the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does the Lord have?" So straight away, Joshua's going, "Okay, so what am I going to do? What's happening? Let you know, tell me." And straight away he says, take off your sandals. It's like, well, you didn't actually answer the question. So, you know, what are we going to do? We've got swords in our hand. What message has the Lord got for me? Take off your sandals. So first of all, he was saying to Joshua, get your perspective right on your problem. So whatever issue, whatever circumstance you're in, get your perspective right. See it from God's point of view. So we might be facing things that seem insurmountable. We might be facing hardship, money problems, job problems, home problems, family, relationships. You know, there's not often, is there, that in our life you think everybody's fine and everything's great. And you're just waiting for the next thing, aren't you? Because there's nothing much in life where we haven't got some issue when we delve a bit deeper. So he's saying this is holy ground. You are in the presence of God. So you need to acknowledge that, and you need to see that our battles, we don't face them alone now. Those of us who are followers of Jesus, who are believers, we have God's Spirit living within us. So we don't ever face it, anything alone. But also we need to see it through our spiritual eyes. That some things are put before us, and our enemy, Satan, our enemy, will use things against us, will use our vulnerable parts. You know, do you know where you're vulnerable? Do you see any patterns in your life where you feel, you know what, every time I go to do something, I have an argument with my husband. Every time I'm going to do something important for God, something goes wrong at work. Is there a pattern? Look for patterns. Because, you know, they're the things there are battles, there are spiritual battles where we can have control. So we've got the commander of the army of the Lord. Take off your sandals. The place you're standing is holy. And Joseph, who used to be called Joshua, he did so. And you know, it reminds you, doesn't it, of Moses when God spoke to him out of the burning bush saying, take off your sandals. This place is holy ground. Before he told him something that was going to be seemingly impossible. You know, you're going to take the Israelites out of Egypt and you've got to go to Pharaoh and tell him. But now, so Joshua knows. So we've got perspective. Get your perspective through your spiritual eyes. Now, it comes back. So his task, we have a little backstory. The gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Now, when we were at the prayer the other night, I said to them all, that reminds you of a story, doesn't it? And they all looked at me. Does that remind you? Is Linda Siemens here? Linda, it was all shut up. Nobody went in and nobody went out. I'll give you a clue. Roald Dahl. I was relying on you. Thank you, Loz, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Nobody went in and nobody went, oh, yeah, okay. So nobody went in, nobody went out. They'd shut the city up because they'd heard about the Israelites. They'd heard about what God was doing for this special group of people. And they'd closed up. And we assume the walls were pretty hefty. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever built a wall. My husband built a wall once. He built we built together a drive. We even laid the tarmac ourselves. We did everything ourselves. We built a drive. So Mark built two gateposts, grand gateposts at the end of the drive. It wasn't a very big drive, but the gateposts were really nice. Those little capstones, they looked great. And they were all in place, neat and tidy. We thought we were the bee's knees. We loved it. Anyway, one day we were reversing the car out. And sadly, the wing mirror hit the gatepost and the gatepost fell over. We weren't going at speed. We lived on a very busy main road that we were reversing out of illegally, probably. Anyway, I'm assuming the walls were stronger than that. And I was saying the other day, now, you know, we know Joshua went round, and we know, you know, when armies go on bridges, they don't march in time because the bridge could fall. So there's all sorts, isn't there, that people say, oh, well, you know, that would be what happened to walls. But I don't know whether it did or not, but God instituted it. He started it. He told them what to do. You know, in the beginning, God. Whatever else happened, in the beginning, God. And in this situation, it was God who said, do it. And the walls came down. But it was about preparation. Second P, did you get that? Are you listening? Yeah, good, well done. I don't know how many P's we've had now. So we've had perspective, but this was preparation that he was told what to do. The commander of the army said, take off your sandals. Get it into perspective. It's holy ground. It's a spiritual battle. The gates of Jericho was all barred up. Everything was shut up. Then the Lord says, see, I've delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. At that point, do you think Joshua might have turned round and gone, oh, yes. You know, I don't want to argue with you, but actually, all as I can see is a city that's shut up. See, you know, look what I've done. And sometimes we have to speak things, believe things, before we see the result. You know, when you have an acorn, there's the potential, isn't there, for an oak tree in that acorn, which is a bit of a corny idea. But you know what I'm saying? Sometimes there's a seed. And then other things flourish, but it takes the seed, it takes the thing. If Joshua said, you know, get lost, I don't believe that, nothing can do that, he would have missed so much, wouldn't he? You know, that would be the end of Joshua's story, but his story goes on. And he believed it. So see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. And then he gives him his instructions, which seem mad. March around the city. Get the priests blowing trumpets. Take the ark. Do this for 6 days. And they were very specific. And it seems mad. And sometimes, you know, if we wait on God, if we are thinking about what to do in a certain situation, it might seem mad. That's one of the reasons that Anyo called the lunchtime prayer crackers, because she says, in a way, if somebody comes in and sees us sitting in a room or talking to ourselves, it seems crackers. But see the reality, see the what's behind it, what is actually going on. So he has to do the preparation. If we have problems, we can't sit there and just say, okay, Lord, you're going to sort all that out, aren't you? We have to do stuff, don't we? We have to take action as well and listen to him and look for his leading. But the most important thing, and this is sort of the very last thing, is he said, don't just march round, but take the ark. And the ark is the presence of God. It represented to the Israelites the presence of God. So if they saw the ark move, it was significant. It was where God is. or where God was. So that's what they were doing. In our situation today, we have the presence of God. We have the Spirit of God within us. You know, I cling to that verse that tells us, you know, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives within us. And that brings us peace, which is a number 4P, really. Sort of, that's a freebie. But the presence of God within us gives us peace in situations because we know we're not alone and we know that it's the power, his power within us to change situations. His presence is within us. We carry it. We should expect when we go places that things change, that situations change because we have the presence. Now, why doesn't that always happen? Well, can I suggest that it's because we're not always aware? We don't always sit. Mark's just bought a book. I can't remember the name of it or who wrote it, but he will tell you. And it's all about stilling yourself, calming yourself, and sitting in God's presence. Sometimes, you know, I give myself a big tick. I get up, I go in our back room, I read my Bible, I pray, and I feel really good about myself. Oh, yes, I've had a quiet time. It's a good day. But, you know, sometimes that's all it is. I've read my Bible and I've prayed. Have I sat in the presence of God? No, not always. Because that takes time. That takes my mental capacity to say, I will not move until I know God is with me, until I am aware of his Spirit. And that's what I'm doing now. When we have a problem, it's not, oh, right, what's the next thing? What do we do about it? Stop. Take your sandals off. This ground is holy. Let's see what God's presence is telling us. And it might be something mad, but let's be obedient as well. Because we don't have a choice now. If we have crossed that line, if we've given our lives to Jesus, if we are believers, if we are followers, if we are Christians, he's in charge. We're going to obey him. So I just want to leave that with you. If you are facing challenges, you know, the word that came strongly today to the team who was praying was hope. There is hope and there is the presence of God in our lives. And we would love to pray with you and walk with you with those things. So please feel free to come. If you want to know about that book, please ask Mark on the way out. And shall we have a song, Johnny? If the band could come, I'm just going to pray for us. Let's just bow our heads and just give space for a minute. Yes, Lord, we just pray that you would come, that your Spirit would minister to us in whatever situation we find ourselves, Lord. We thank you that we're not alone. We thank you that being yours means that you're in us, that you work through us, that other people get to benefit because we carry you within us. Lord, I pray for whatever situation we're standing before us, Lord, that seems impossible, that seems a walled city. I pray, Lord, that you would give us your presence first and foremost, that today we would decide to just spend some time asking you. And Lord, we just pray that that your blessing would flow in this place, Lord, that other people might see.